Good morning or good afternoon. This is Senate Education Committee calling the meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, February 22nd, 2023. The time is 3:32 p.m. In attendance are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Keel, and myself, Senator Stevens, Vice Chair. Is Senator Bjorkman online? Or?
He's
here. Okay, good. So we have a quorum to conduct business. As for decorum, let me remind everyone to please silence their cell phones. I would like to recognize and thank our record keeper from Senate Records, Marigwen Kaunkumi. Hope that's somewhat close. And our LIO moderator, Cindy Truitt, for helping with audio and phone lines. Today we'll be hearing Senate Bill 29 relating to civics education in Alaska, sponsored by myself. I'm sorry to say that chairing and sponsoring the bill. Followed by Senate Bill 24 relating to mental health education in Alaska, sponsored by Senator Gray Jackson. This is the first hearing this session for each of these bills. It's the intention to have them both introduce, give the respective conversation, get the respective conversation on the table, hear from respective stakeholders and the administration, and set them both aside for further review. Today's testimony on these bills is by invitation only, and we will be talking, we'll be taking a public testimony at a later date. Welcome, Senator Bjorkman. Glad you're here. Are there any questions or comments from the committee members before we begin? Very well, let's begin then with Senate Bill 29. Thank you for being here. Tim Lamkin, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Senator Stevens, members of the committee. My name is Tim Lamkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Before you is Senate Bill 29 relating to civics education. We'd like to thank Senator Tobin for scheduling the bill today. Just as some brief introductory comments, we've been experiencing quite an epidemic of apathy and division for decades in our schools, with a focus on math, science, reading and writing at the expense of the liberal arts. Other states have taken notice of this, and with a wide range of policies and laws that have begun to make adjustments and changing standards, curriculum, including exit exams and civics, which is a major component of this bill before you. But it also, for example, things such as observing flag etiquette, community involvement, leadership workshops, volunteerism, registering to vote, fundamentals of our civics and citizenship. And so the bill before you, Senate Bill 29, is one effort among many that's needed to help restore faith and understanding in our system of government by our younger generations. This bill calls for the creation of a civics curriculum and a related assessment or completion of a course in civics for our graduating seniors. It doesn't specify that it be a senior in high school, just that they have such a course completed or a test taken before they graduate. It's not a high-stakes exam, has been argued in the past, but it is a high-stakes issue. Students can take the test repeatedly as many times as necessary until they reach a minimum passing grade of 70%. That exam, as called for, it's also used by the U.S. Immigration Services for folks that come into the country seeking citizenship in the United States. And I'll note for you that the passing rate is about 80%. It's in the 80s. And the latest examination that I took of what's happening in our school systems in Texas, Oklahoma, in particular, that the passing rate of that same test was in the neighborhood of 4 to 6%. Pretty substantial difference. So this test is based off of that U.S. immigration test, and it is used as a benchmark, as something to consider using as demonstrating citizenship. With that, I will go into the sectional, the mechanics of the bill, if you please.
Thank you, Mr. Lamkin. And again, thank you for all of your efforts on this bill over the years. I appreciate where we are now. And please, you can go into a sectional analysis.
Okay, so section one relates to existing statute and the reporting requirements for school districts on an annual basis. It directs the State Board of Education to develop a curriculum and an assessment on the civics portion of the naturalization exam administered by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security for immigrants seeking U.S. citizenships that I just described. The curriculum and the assessment must also include systems or studying systems of Alaska tribal government. There also requires that students, if they that they take and complete a semester course taught using the curriculum, or to pass the exam established in A in order to receive a diploma, with exceptions for students with disabilities. Schools are to document on student transcripts when a student has passed the assessment or taken that course, again with the option of students to retake the exam repeatedly as needed until they reach a 70% score. Districts are then required to report annually on their respective civics course offerings, and their overall average student score on the assessment when it's chosen to be taken. And it defines the passing score as 70%. Section 2 relates to AS 1407-168 relating to existing reporting requirements of the State Board of Education to include in their annual report to the legislature a description of the curriculum that's being offered in the state to districts, of civics-related course offerings in respective districts, and of the student performances on the assessments that's described in Section 1. Also, in that annual report, to include recommendations made by the Alaska Civics Education Commission that's being established under the following section. Section 3 was submitted by Ledge Legal. It relates to a bill that was passed last year, reflected in Section 2, Chapter 40, SOA 22. You may recall the Alaska Reads Act. It had some virtual education consortium language in there that is a repealer. So that there is just there for legal drafting purposes. It has no effect or relevance to the bill itself before you. Section 4 creates the new Alaska Civics Education Commission, staffed by the Lieutenant Governor. AS 1407-205 is new, describes this commission as being comprised of 12 members, chaired by the Lieutenant Governor, includes a justice or their designee of the Alaska Supreme Court, the Commissioner of Education and Early Development, two members of the House of Representatives, one of which would be representing the minority of the House, two members of the Senate, one of which representing the minority of the Senate, five members appointed by the Governor, two of which would be civics or social studies teachers, one of which teaches via the Correspondence Studies Program, and one of which is a member of the NEA, National Education Association. One member representing a nonprofit organization that has civics as a core mission. One member representing the AASB, Association of School Boards. And one member who is a student in good standing, with a reflecting an interest and passion for the subject. 1407-210 describes the terms of office from the commission members as being for 2 years, with vacancies being filled in the same manner as the previous appointment, fairly generic language used consistently with other task forces and commissions. 1407-215 describes the duties of the commission, which would include a review of best practices, pedagogies, policies for civic education, and make recommendations generally to provide guidance to the state board and implementing some civics education. 1407-220 requires at least a quarterly meeting of the commission, and they may be done so in electronically. 1407-225 is a reference to compensation, consistent with most boards and commissions where there's no direct compensation, but travel and per diem expenses can be provided for. 1407-295 defines commission as the Alaska Civics Education Commission. Section 5 is also back to that repealer from a prior Section 3, legal drafting, is effective date of that repeal. And then Section 6 is the overall effective date of the bill and commission to be July 1st, 2023. And that concludes the section, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Lampkin. We have invited testimony, three folks that are going to be speaking to us. I'd ask you to state your name and affiliation for the record. And we'll begin with Lisa Bordeaux, Director of State Policy for iCivics. Ms. Bordeaux.
It's Lisa Boudreaux, iCivics.
Yes, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Vice Chair Stevens and honorable members of the committee. It's a great honor to testify before the Alaska Senate Committee on Education. As I said before, my name is Lisa Boudreaux, and I serve as the Director of State Policy for the Civics Now Coalition, which is a project of an organization called iCivics. Before detailing our work at Civics Now and addressing the merits of Senate Bill 29, I would like to speak to the perilous state of our constitutional democracy. We've long lamented the state of civic knowledge in this country, and the annual Annenberg Public Policy Center Civic Knowledge Survey, released last September, is cause for continued concern. Less than half of, which is 47%, U.S. adults could name all three branches of government, which was down from 56% in 2021. One in four respondents could not name any. Asked to name the five rights protected by the First Amendment, fewer Americans could name any of the five than in 2021. For example, less than one in four people, which is 24%, could name freedom of religion, down from 56% the prior year. Turning to K-12, we're all too familiar with the depressing scores from the nation's report card, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, where civics and history scores regularly rank the lowest among all subjects tested. In 2018, only 24% of eighth graders were proficient on measuring a test measuring civic knowledge, skills, and dispositions, and only 15% were proficient in history. These results taken together, it's fair to question the extent to which Americans are prepared for informed, effective, and lifelong civic engagement. And solutions are not immediate or singular, but as social studies educators, we offer the most promising long-term plan for strengthening and sustaining our democratic institutions. Stated simply, civic education is the key to rebuilding trust in institutions and in one another, in fostering informed patriotism and civility, and empowering citizens to build a more perfect union. However, civics has been egregiously neglected over the last 50 years, coinciding with the troubled trends that I outlined before. We estimate that the federal government invests in civics at less than 50 cents per K-12 student versus $50 per student for STEM. This comes on the heels of two decades of retrenchment in social studies education since No Child Left Behind. The Council of Chief State School Officers estimates that 44% of school districts have cut back on instructional time for social studies for over a 20-year period. I'm here representing a coalition, Civics Now, which is 275 organizations strong and representative of the country's political and geographical diversity. Our coalition facilitates an aggregation of research and measurement to make the empirical case for high-quality civic learning opportunities across the curriculum and throughout the student's K-12 experience. Narrative change to position civic learning as a fundamental to our nation's democratic strength, and policy and advocacy to push for the adoption of state and federal policies that incentivize schools' civic missions. Civics Now established a state policy task force with members from 40 states. Alaska is not currently one of them, but we seek to support state coalitions and establish relationships with policymakers like yourself and identify and activate behind policies to strengthen K-12 civic education and ultimately ensure adequate resources for their implementation. These nonpartisan policies are articulated in our state policy menu. Some of the provisions include things like universal and equitable access to high-quality civic learning, which we would consider standalone courses in high school and middle school, and dedicated instructional time in K-5, civic-centered state standards, assessments and accountability, pre- and in-service teacher professional development, school-wide and community commitment to civic learning, and of course, resourcing policy implementation. We have conducted a 50-state policy scan with these provisions in mind and have found that 37 states and DC require a high school civics course, only 7 for a full year. Alaska is not among them. Turning to middle school, the situation is bleaker with only 7 states requiring a standalone civics course. 26 states and DC do require civics instruction, not including Alaska. Civics is officially assessed in 32 states through passage of the U.S. naturalization test, which is the most frequent vehicle. Alaska currently does not require a civics assessment. Finally, 24 states and DC provide students with credit for completing service learning projects. And while Alaska does not provide credit for service learning, some school districts do. Senate Bill 29, sponsored by Senator Stevens, will create a permanent Alaska Commission on Civic Ed, composed of leaders in our state government, teachers, and students who are really passionate about the issue, to serve periodically and forward recommendations to our state Board of Education and Early Development. Commissions like these have been formed in states such as Indiana and Georgia. The bill will also create required course time and a civics test, which we support. The restoration and reinvigoration of civic ed in Alaska will be a long yet worthy process. Commitments from educators, administrators, policymakers, and other stakeholders will have to be made to uphold and revamp civic education. But I have optimism about the state of civic ed in Alaska, and that the new commission will develop a plan based on pedagogy and proven practices in civic ed. It will be critical for the commission to internalize all of the research on civic education and act upon its recommendations. It will also be critical for the commission to support educators with resources, training, and clear guidance so that implementation is successful. At a time when our civic health is badly bruised and our political discourse seems more polarized than ever, the prospects of knitting together our free democracy may well rest upon what happens in classrooms across the state. Stronger K-12 civic education policies will ensure that our students graduate with the civic knowledge, skills, and dispositions necessary for self-governance. They'll emerge equipped to overcome dis and misinformation and transcend some of the toxic political polarization that we're experiencing, and rebuild trust in our democratic institutions and in one another, and thus strengthen and secure our constitutional democracy for us and for posterity. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Lisa. I really appreciate your comments, appreciate the efforts of Civics Now. You have taken the forefront of this, I believe, and have been playing a major role. So thank you again. A pleasure talking to you earlier, and thanks so much for being here with us today. We'll go on to Bylene Carlson. Bylene is the president-elect Alaska Council for Social Studies and a social studies teacher at Nikolaev School in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Now, Bylene Carlson, please go ahead.
Hi, I am Bylene Carlson. Thank you very much for giving me some time. I'd like to introduce a group of my government students that are behind me and a parent here from Nikolaev. I am glad to have the opportunity to express my support for SB 29. My name is Bylene Carlson, as we've said, and I'm currently the only certified teacher at Nikolaev School, which is a K-12 school on the Kenai Peninsula. I'm here today as the president-elect of the Alaska Council for Social Studies. We serve as Alaska's frontline pedagogical experts to support the renewal of our collective commitment to ensure that Alaskans have the tools they need to keep our democracy and tribal government strong. But we can't do that without policy change. Sadly, Alaska is currently only one of two states in the nation that has no civics course requirements in middle school or in high school. There is no assessment. There was a time when schools were the guardians of democracy. Schools were the medium to pass along the information about why and how our democracy works. It was the place for learning how to think critically and to analyze information. Civics education has helped us develop a sense of reflective patriotism and instilled a deep appreciation of our country's history, founding documents, values, and institutions. And now civics is missing in our schools. It is very important that we bring it back. Civics is a way students learn and understand the complex and often confusing systems of government. It teaches them how to effectively participate in the political process, whether that is as a future volunteer for a parent council or as elective representatives. Civics teaches students the importance of voting, how to advocate for themselves and their communities, and how to engage in civil discourse. These skills and dispositions help our students become informed and responsible citizens who contribute to our workplaces, our tribes, our communities, and to our country. Perhaps one day one of my students will step into leadership roles in their community, whether it's serving on a school board or in the Alaska Senate, as members of this committee have. SB 29 is a bill sponsored by the Honorable Senator Stevens that would require a semester-long civics course in high school and a summative civics exam as a requirement for high school graduation. Additionally, this bill would create the Alaska Civic Education Commission of dedicated individuals to carry forward a commitment of excellence in civic education and teaching and learning, forwarding recommendations to our State Board of Education and Early Development. This bill will help us renew the civic mission of our schools. In closing, we can only achieve civic excellence by passing down the civic knowledge, skills, and dispositions necessary to be informed and effective participants in civic life from graduation, from generation to generation. This bill will establish the groundwork needed to move us in the right direction. And as I often tell my students, if you're not at the table, then you're on the table. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madeline Carlson. I appreciate what you've said. Appreciate you as a teacher in our school district. And it's always great to see students, the students behind you. And we hope as this issue progresses to have an opportunity for a testimony from some of your students if they would care to. So again, thanks so much, Eileen. Please go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ms. Carlson, could you define a term you used in your comments? You used the phrase reflective patriotism, and I don't know what that means in this context.
In this context, reflective patriotism is when my students see all of the things that we have to be proud about our country. Working with adolescents, they're generally a kind of an apathetic lot already. And they don't necessarily have a reason to feel very patriotic or to feel like they're enfranchised in the system. And I try to get them excited about our government. I try to get them excited about our founding documents. I try to get them excited about being part of a political process and governmental process that has, you know, gone on for the last 250 years that's amazing and brilliant. And that concept of reflective patriotism is a way for them to think about all of the things that they can do and be a part of in our country and in our state and locally as well.
Thank you, Senator. And thank you, Eileen. Just a question, Eileen. How many years have you been teaching there?
This is my sixth year as a teacher at Nicolaias School, and I have been a teacher in the district for about 10 years now, I think.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your contribution. We'll move on to Mr. Robert Hadley, a social studies content specialist in the Lower Kuskokwim School District, and he's a member of the Alaska Council for Social Studies. Mr. Hadley.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Vice Chairman Stevens and the honorable members of the committee. My name again is Robert Hadley, and I'm the social studies content specialist for the Lower Kuskokwim School District here in Bethel, Alaska. I'm also a member of the Alaska Council for Social Studies, as previously mentioned. I'm here today in support of SB 29, sponsored by Senator Stevens. This past year, I worked to pioneer a new civics pilot program focusing on the needs of civic engagement in our small remote communities in Southwest Alaska. The pilot program was the product of efforts by classroom educators throughout the district who saw an unmet need in our curriculum for effective civics education. Our high schools only offered an optional half credit in comparative government. I serve an almost exclusive Native Alaska population in over 20 small communities between 300 and 800 people in the school district the size of West Virginia. I do this in largely through video teleconference tools like Zoom, which creates unique challenges in engagement. So many of our students don't feel well connected to government at any level, federal, state, and even tribal. Part of the goal of this class was to give them a sense of connectivity to their local government by participating in tribal council and carrying out a civic action project that was based on their passion or concern in their community. Many of the students selected and tackled difficult issues like alcohol abuse, domestic violence, and acute housing shortages in their village, and worked to advocate for potential policy solutions with local leaders. Our class allowed them to practice democracy in real life. Our students stand on the shoulders of many who have advocated for their rights as Indigenous Alaska Natives, fighting for civil rights, land and subsistence rights through things like ANCSA and ANILCA. But many of our students don't have the skills needed to continue advocating for their hard-won rights moving forward. Civics education isn't simply about good citizenship for our students, it's about their very survival. I work to find ways to incorporate this knowledge into my courses like tribal government, but many of our students don't take these classes and are unaware of this past and the important role they play in their villages, a role that a more robust civics education can help fill. Senate Bill 29 is an important step in the right direction for the state to reinvigorate the commitment to civic learning and the civic mission in schools. This bill would help establish a civic education commission, who with the legislature's support, work to ensure that all Alaskan students learn the valuable skills needed to be fully engaged citizens, understanding both their rights and their responsibilities as members of their tribe, their state, and this country. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Hadley, for your comments. And how long have you been teaching, Ms. Hadley, and how long have you been at Lower Kuskokwim?
I've been teaching 29 years, and this is my fifth year here in the district.
Thanks so much for your service to Alaska students. We also have available in the room Kelly Manning. Kelly is the Deputy Director of Innovation and Education Excellence, Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. We have two fiscal notes, one for the Department of Education and Early Development, and we also have another one from the Office of the Lieutenant Governor. The one from the Lieutenant Governor is not available yet. We'll examine the fiscal notes in more detail at a later hearing. Kelly, any comments you want to make at this point, or do you want to wait till we have a later hearing? Okay, we'll do that then. All right, any comments or questions from members of the committee? Yes, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question really, I guess, for either you or your staff as to one piece of the intent. Actually, let me start with a comment. I very much appreciate that this legislation includes multiple ways for students to demonstrate that they have achieved the level of civics knowledge that we're after here. It is, as your staff said, Mr. Chair, not a single high-stakes test, and that's a valuable and important element of this legislation. Question as to the course in civics education, where it falls within Alaska's graduation requirements. I know that today the state requires 3 credits in social studies, which is a pretty broad category. It's not crystal clear, and so I wanted to get the sponsor's intent. Would this civics education semester be an additional half a credit, or would this could this be satisfied as part of the existing 3 credits?
Mr. Lampkin, can you answer that, or would you ask the department to?
For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. So, yeah, in looking at the statewide, I went to individual districts, all 55 of them, to see what their requirements were. This bill is not that prescriptive. We do want to maintain a respect and acknowledgement of local control. So to the extent that the bill's crafted, that flexibility is intended to be there. It's by and large, the vast majority, all but 3 of them that I noted, generalized social studies such that they could include things not only like U.S. government, but also U.S. history, Alaska Native studies in a couple of instances. Economics are rolled into some of these social studies. So when we talk about social study credits, yes, there's usually at least a minimum of 3. Some districts are requiring 4 credits, but all we're going to specify here is that it be specifically civics related and not necessarily U.S. history, government, economics.
Great. Thank you.
Further questions? Yes, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to say thank you so much for bringing this very important bill back this session. But my question is, on Section 4, AS 1407-215, it says commission to include review of best practices, I'm probably not even pronouncing the word right, plus I don't know what it means, and that's my question. What is that word? How do you pronounce it? What does it mean? Thank you, Mr.
Good
Chairman.
Question, Senator. We should always know that.
Senator Gray Jackson, if you could please clarify the page and the line number.
Sorry. It's page 2 of the section analysis. 1, 2, 3, 4 down.
I'm sorry. I'm still. I'm sorry. The bill itself would be helpful.
I might offer.
Yes, Senator, if you have an answer.
I believe I do. So the definition you're asking for there is pedagogies, and teaching pedagogy is just the practice that an educator would use in how they are teaching students. So pedagogy is the practice or the art of teaching, you could say.
Thank you. I never heard the word before, so that's why I asked the question. But thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson, and thank you for the answer, Senator. Okay, are there any other questions or comments at this time? Then at this time, I will set Senate Bill 29 aside for further review. We're going to take a brief at ease to transition to the next bill, Senate Bill 24. Call the Education Committee back to order. Next, we have up Senate Bill 24, sponsored by Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Senator Gray Jackson, and thank you to the committee members. I'm just so honored to be able to bring this bill back. Last session, it was Senate Bill 80, and this session, it is Senate Bill 24. It's a very important bill. Senate Bill 24, it amends the existing health education curriculum statute to include mental health curriculum in all 12K-12 health classrooms to adequately educate students on vital information pertaining to mental health symptoms, resources, and treatment. The Alaska State Board of Education and Early Development and the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development will develop guidelines for instruction in mental health in consultation with numerous stakeholders. Such organizations include, but are not limited to, the National Council for Behavioral Health, Providence Health and Services Alaska, South Central Foundation, Anchorage Community Mental Health Services, Inc., North Star Behavioral Health System, and the National Alliance on Mental Health Illness in Alaska. The standards will be developed in consultation with counselors, educators, students, administrators, and other mental health organizations to form executive guidelines for school boards, teachers, and students. After standards have been developed, the Alaska State Board of Education and Early Development, and DEED, will be responsible for implementation throughout the Alaska school system. As with existing health education curriculum, the DEED, the Department of Health, and the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault will provide technical assistance to school districts in the development of personal safety curricula. An existing school health education specialist position will assist in coordinating the program statewide. Senate Bill 24, it aims to decrease the stigma surrounding mental illnesses and increase students' knowledge of mental health, encouraging conversation around an understanding of the issue. Just one more comment, side note. This bill is important in itself, but it's especially important because our kids are suffering, especially during the COVID situation. So I'm just really honored to bring it forward again, Mr. Chairman. At this point, I'd like to introduce my Chief of Staff, Bessie Odom. She is going to go over the sectional analysis on my behalf.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Ms. Odom.
For the record, this is Bessie Odom. Sectional analysis for SB 24, Section 1, states that the uncodified law of the state of Alaska is amended by adding a new section to read legislative intent. This section states what entities will develop guidelines for instruction in mental health. Section 2 amends AS 143-0360A by removing the word physical when referencing instruction for health education and adding mental health and physical health to the list of curriculum items each district includes in their health education programs. Continuing on, Section 3 amends AS 360B by clarifying that health guidelines developed by the Board of Education and Early Development must provide standards for instruction and mental health and be developed in consultation with the department and other entities. The uncodified law of the state of Alaska is amended by adding a new section to read, report to the legislature. This section clarifies that a report must be given to the Senate Secretary and Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives. The report should include a copy of the developmentally appropriate instruction and describe the process used to develop such guidelines. Section 5. The uncodified law of the state of Alaska is amended by adding a new section to read, transition. Specifically, this section requires that the State Board of Education and Early Development shall develop the mental health guidelines within 2 years after the effective date of this act. The last section, section 6, states that this section is effective or sets an effective date for July 1st, 2023.
Thank you, Ms. Autumn. Thank you, Senator Ray Jackson. We have some testimony. If you want to go right on to that, and I'd ask you to state your name and affiliation for the record. They are both on telephone, I believe. We'll begin with Ann Ringstad, Executive Director of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Alaska, NAMI, Alaska. Ms. Ringstad, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, thank you for allowing me to testify on SB 24. My name is Ann Ringstad. I'm the Executive Director for NAMI Alaska. NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, was created in Alaska in 1984, and it serves the entire state with affiliates in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and the North Slope. Our mission is to eliminate the stigma of mental illness by providing advocacy, education, support, and public awareness so that all individuals and families affected by mental illness can build better lives. We would like to thank Senator Gray Jackson for sponsoring SB 24, an act relating to mental health education. As you know, this legislation amends the existing health education curriculum statutes to include mental health curriculum in all K through 12 public schools throughout Alaska in order to adequately educate students on vital information pertaining to mental health symptoms, resources, and treatment. 1 in 6 youth ages 6 to 17 in the United States right now experiences a mental health condition in a given year, and half of all mental health conditions begin by age 14. The numbers go up in the 18 to 25 age range, with 1 in 3 experiencing mental health challenges. We know that education, early recognition, and intervention, as well as working on prevention, are keys to minimizing mental health issues that are common in our youth and adolescents, and hopefully eradicating the long-term disabilities caused by mental illness. It is important to talk openly about mental health. Mental health and physical health go hand in hand. By establishing mental health education guidelines and encouraging schools to follow these guidelines, SB 24 aims to decrease the stigma surrounding mental illness and increase students' knowledge of mental health, encouraging conversation around and understanding of the issue, thereby reducing the stigma of mental illness. Disseminating accurate information to schools and to the community will increase the likelihood that children and teens struggling with symptoms are not viewed negatively by their peers. If we can do that, we increase the odds that mental health issues can be addressed early on, thus leading to the improved outcomes generated by early interventions. We greatly appreciate the comprehensive reports recently commissioned by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, Departments of Education and Early Development, and Department of Health and Social Services, now the Departments of Health and Department of Family and Community Services, and the Alaska Mental Health Board and Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse to address mental health supports in schools throughout Alaska. It is important to note that school districts of all sizes throughout Alaska face barriers to implementing or delivering mental health supports and services. Some of these barriers include alignment, availability, access, resources, and external influences. Districts are using a range of approaches and internal and external resources to address student mental health. However, the variability of the mental health supports and services provided in Alaska school districts makes it challenging to definitively identify overarching commonalities and themes. Strengthening the existing health curriculum guidelines in Alaska Public Schools in consultation with the stakeholders, with local school districts, and other entities listed in the legislation will ultimately give the school districts the guidance to educate students to recognize the warning signs of mental distress and provide them with the language and resources to connect to help. In summary, these are challenging times, and it is now more important than ever to take action to address the subject of mental health and provide guidance and hope to all those that are impacted by mental health issues. Thank you for your consideration of the importance of this legislation.
Well, thank you, and Ringstad, for your years of service to NAMI. We'll move on with our questions to Jason Massard, a youth mental health advocate. Jason, are you with us?
I am. And thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks to the committee for allowing me to speak today on this very important bill. For the record, my name is Jason Massard. I am a youth mental health advocate based in Anchorage. For the last 5 years, I've been the adult advisor of mental health advocacy through Storytelling, which is a youth-developed, youth-led program that teaches kids to talk about their own personal journeys with their own mental health. And we put on community storytelling events where youth and people from all around the greater Anchorage area come and hear these stories. And they've been tremendous in helping to bust the stigma regarding these conversations. I also happen to serve on the API governing body as a patient advocate and chair of the ethics committee. And so I wanted to share my perspective on this bill. I've been helping to advocate for this bill for a number of years now. I'd really love to see this come through because, as you well know, and I'm sure continue to hear, there really is a crisis among our youth regarding mental health. Whether you're looking at, on a national level up to 2021 Surgeon General's report or even looking at our own Alaska Youth Risk Behavior Surveys, every couple of years, those come out, and our numbers are trending in the wrong direction, unfortunately. And so, to reiterate what Ringstad had shared earlier, I really like to drive this home when I talk about this bill. 50% of all lifetime mental illnesses begin by age 14. That's a freshman in high school. 75% of all lifetime mental illnesses by 24. So these are things that are largely happening in the youth brain. And to date, we're not talking about them enough with our youth. And we're hoping that this bill can help to facilitate that. Now, this is not a mandate for education in our systems. This is to create some guidelines so that schools and school districts can feel that they can safely have these conversations with our youth. Because we know that early intervention is key. Right. If we can share this information and these resources with youth before they reach a crisis situation and need a first responder or need to go into some sort of care, we're all the better. We know that our own care line for, every 10 calls that go into the Alaska Care Line, 9 of them are resolved on that line and don't need further response from first responders or further help for that person that was calling in crisis. And so it's kind of indicative of if we can get ahead with this proactive effort and get this information to youth's hands, both how they can find help for themselves or how they can help one of their friends find help, we're going to be in a better spot than we are right now. And we know that youth are going youth to youth for this kind of stuff. With my storytellers, after the storytelling sessions, almost every session we get a story that, a student came up to me in the hallway that was at the show and wanted to talk about how do I access, care? How do I, talk to my parents about getting a therapist? So these conversations are important, and it's important that they happen in a healthy way, because we also know that some school districts with the best of intentions have sought to bring on additions to their curriculum that might talk about mental health. It could be that program is outdated. It might not. Sometimes the programs have actually, triggered students and had adverse effects. So really what this bill is hoping to do is just to have, this committee of folks put together some guidelines, not a curriculum, just to help folks navigate the difficult process of sometimes choosing what kind of program to bring on. I just want to follow up by saying it's important that we talk about this stuff. We're not going to fix this problem by putting our head in the sand. And it's not just talking about it amongst adults and amongst school administrators. It's talking about it with the youth, with the people that, you know, these are the changes happening in their brain. So I thank you again for your time, and thank you, Senator Gray Jackson, for bringing this extremely important bill forward. And I will end my comments there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jason, for sharing your information with us. I'd like to point out that we have a couple of folks from the last Department of Education Early Development with us for questions. Kelly Manning, Deputy Director of Innovation and Education Excellence, and Sharon Fiscal, I'm sure it's Fischel, Education Administrator 2. He's the team lead for the DEED School Health and Safety team. We do have one fiscal note on file for the bill from the Department of Education, and we can examine that fiscal note in more detail at a later hearing. At this point, Ms. Manning or Ms. Fischel, do you have any comments? Okay, thanks very much for being here. We'll get into those details at our next meeting. Any comments from members of the committee?
Thank you for hearing my bill, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
Absolutely. Any other comments at this point, then? I will set Senate Bill 24 aside for further review. There is no meeting of the Senate Finance Senate Education Committee on Friday, February 24th. On Monday, February 27, we will receive a State of School Districts update from school district superintendents and other stakeholders. Monday's meeting is being held in conjunction with the annual legislative fly-in of the Alaska Council of School Administrators. If there is no further business coming for us, we are adjourned at 4:18.